Hello everyone and welcome to Sports Community Podcast, hosted in the beautiful studios of 98.7, 98.3, RPPFM, the voice of the peninsula. We have a fantastic array of guests and topics from the world of grassroots sports for you today. And as usual, I am joined by my co-host, Steve Pallas.
G'day, Joe. How are you going?
All right, mate. I'm really looking forward to today's show. I know we got some great guests, and we also are going to have a little bit of a 2014 year in review type segment where we have a look back at some of our favourite guests and topics. But before we do that, this is the holiday period, and we all look forward to it. Now, I know that you're bloody blazing there on the Murray, strategising in your dreams, drinking beer kind of thing. But for the clubs out there, and I know that it's still peak time for the summer clubs and the summer sports, but for the winter clubs out there that are obviously going to be starting to gear up in late January, February, what are some of the things that they could possibly be doing now to in this holiday period to kind of prepare themselves for the upcoming season? Just a few tips for the clubs out there. I mean, I'll start off, like, I think that now's the perfect time to be working out your volunteer roster. So for your clubs out there, this is the time that you want to be making sure that you're ringing up the folks or contacting the folks that volunteered for you in the previous year and gauging whether they're going to recommit or not, and then working out your volunteer needs and your gaps and beginning the process of finding those volunteers. So there's my tip for some of the work that should be done during this this off-season period. What about yourself, big fella?
Well, I like what I was doing in January, Joe.
Oh, dang. You reckon the club should have time off?
No. Sitting under the on the banks of the Murray, now insert location as suitable, thinking and planning. I think one of the biggest traps for presidents and leaders of clubs is they feel they have to be doing all the time. And yet the real skill and the real power of what's going to happen in the year is actually decided in this pre-season part. And it's not necessarily what you do, but it's the planning and the thinking. Like, you can get well in front of and plan. I mean, you can be planning what your presentation night's going to be, you know, 6 or 8, 12 months down the track. You can be planning what your volunteer recruitment strategy. But, I mean, top down, I mean, in these before the season starts, 2 or 3 months early before the season starts, you know, it'd be very, very – I'd be desperately making sure that you're very clear – on what the objectives for the season are, Joe, and really clear on what those objectives are. What are the strategies that you're going to use to achieve those objectives? So you might say we want to grow participation in our club, but that's potentially too broad. So the strategies are we're going to get an additional under 16 team. We're going to retain all the teams that we've got, and then we're going to get a masters team. So clearly define goals for the season. And then starting to think about whether that's as an individual or as a group, as a committee or a broader group, starting to think about how you're going to step by step execute those plans. And the really successful clubs are the ones that have gone through and done that thinking and done that planning, because planning and thinking and goal setting allows you to, if you know where you're going, then through the year, it allows you then to look, assess at how you're going and then change. But if you really don't know where you're going, then you just bumble along and go through. So you really understand what it is that you want to achieve for the year and then how you're going to do it. And then the resourcing falls into the play, and then we start to do that doing sort of role. But really, I think it's a great time to stop and reflect on what we are, what we want to achieve, and how we're going to do it, rather than just doing. And by being away, away from our normal environments, if we're on holiday or, you know, sitting under the trees on the Murray, drinking the odd can of light beer, Joe, because we're very responsible, I think is incredibly powerful and can set up your whole season when you come back with a very clear vision about what you're going to do, how you're going to do it, who's going to be involved, and those sorts of things. So that's my thought, and to a degree that's how we do sports community, isn't it? Like this time last year we stopped, went through all the statistics on the website, we did a really strong review of the year. We sat down and we wrote what our objectives are for the year, and one of those objectives, Joe, was that we start a radio show, and you know we sat down, we defined it, and then 12 months later, we've now done 50 radio shows, kind of close enough to 75,000, or closer to 80,000 downloads. So one of the truest truisms of the world of life is you get what you measure, and you can only measure if you know what you want to achieve. So if you know what to measure. So I think that's a really, really important thing, whether it's going to be the sporting success, the size of your club, the financial stability or this financial situation, or whether it's to do with facilities, whether it's to do with the relationships that your club have with the community, whether it's to do with pathways into your club and in some clubs out of your club, whether it's to do with succession planning, whether it's to do with the development of your coaches, your players, your volunteers and your officials. If you know what you're going to do, I think that sets an incredible foundation, Joe, for a successful year, but also a lot easier year. You know, the more you plan, the easier the year is. And I think that's really important, is we want to try and encourage the volunteers to make their job as easy and as productive and as less time consuming as absolutely possible. So I'm a think, do, think sort of person, whereas a lot of clubs we see are kind of do, think, do. But I think thinking's important, planning and assessing and changing.
You're listening to Sports Community Radio with your hosts, Steve Pellis and Joe Novella, another Sports Community digital production, courtesy of www.sportscommunity.com.au. Okay, welcome back to Sports Community Radio here on RPPFM 98.7, 98.3, the voice of the peninsula and podcast all around the world. You're with Joe Novella and Steve Pellis. We've got a fantastic guest who we mentioned at the top of the show. His name is Dan Latimer. He's the head of social media at Tennis Australia, I should say, in the Australian Open. Welcome to the show, Dan.
Thanks very much. You almost got it there.
Yeah,
it's
a mix between all of those, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's only six words, Dan, and he had it written down. So imagine how we go when we're unscripted.
Mate, fantastic.
Head of social media at Tennis Australia. Fantastic, fantastic title, fantastic job. And coming up, 4 or 5, 6 weeks away from the Australian Open, must be getting to a very busy time for you.
It is coming very pointy at this end for us. I'm actually currently just sitting underneath Margaret Court Arena watching all the construction being done around the site. So we are getting very close and very excited to kick off another Australian Open.
Mate, we are so grateful to have you on the show to talk social media for the next half an hour or so. So let's just look at the Australian Open and just use that as our little case study. As head of social media, first of all, why did Tennis Australia expand its communication strategy into social media?
Well, I mean, if we just want to look at the Australian Open, I think it was a no-brainer for such a large sporting event, a live event, to move into the communication space where you can cover the event in a real-time manner. You can basically be sitting next to your fans as the tournament, speaking to them and giving them information and giving them content from around the grounds and what's happening, you know, not just for the fans that come here, but for all those ones around the world. And we can have that conversation 24 hours, 7 days a week for 14 days, and it's just a fantastic way to speak to the fans and the customers and the users and everyone that interacts with us. So for a live event, for a live sporting event, it's a bit of a no-brainer to move into that space.
So Do you have, what are the I guess, the objectives of, let's go really high level and we'll look at the objectives and then go down to the strategy and then we'll get to the cool stuff about how you actually do it. But what are the actual objectives that you've got to achieve as head of social media?
Well, we have, our big objectives for Tennis Australia are 1 million engaged fans, 1 million registered players and 1 Grand Slam champion. So the challenge for us in the social media space is how do we contribute to those goals? And then for the Australian Open, for social media specifically, we look at how far can we reach our messages, how far can we reach the tournament out into the community, into the audiences in Australia specifically, but then also worldwide. So, for us, it's all about reach, those big reach numbers in social media for the tournament. And then from that, how good is our engagement? And that comes down to what are we providing for the fans that is unique, that nobody else is out there providing? What can we give them? And how much are they going to engage with us when we do that?
So when you talk about reach, how are you measuring reach? Is it likes? Is it, how are you measuring whether you've been successful or not quite successful or failed?
It's a bit of a funny one, especially with social, just because you have so many channels and you have so many, you have Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, and they all have different ways of measuring reach. So we try to take those native insights. So Facebook will have a reach number.
Yes.
Same with Twitter, and sometimes they'll have impression numbers as well. So we'll take that number at the very top that each channel provides us. And we'll assess it individually on channels. And then we'll sort of pull that together into a general social media reach for the tournament. So we use the numbers that the platforms provide.
Yeah, okay. And so then what about engagement? How do you measure, what's your definition of engaged?
Yeah, so again, we look at the core metrics. So, if you want to have a look at Facebook, because it's the biggest channel that we have, it's the biggest channel that's being used in Australia and around the world, there's likes, comments, and shares. And we try not to overcomplicate it too much. So we think of an engagement as a like, a comment, and a share. But what we're looking at doing now is putting more weighting on those types of engagement. So a share is a bit more valuable to us than a like, or a comment is a bit more valuable than a like, because a like's very quick and easy to do. Doesn't necessarily mean that user has spent a lot of time with that piece of content. A comment, they have to spend a little bit more time with, because they've got to think of something to say and take the time to write it. And sharing it is them, saying to all their friends and their family that this piece of content is worth sharing with other people. And so for us, a share is much more valuable than perhaps the like is. So once we get into Twitter, we sort of look at the same metrics with retweets and favorites, and also try to put a bit more weighting on which one is more valuable, and then we can drive our content around those actions.
So which one did the retweet you think's more, you weight more highly than a favorite, or vice versa?
Probably a retweet is probably rate a bit higher than a favorite. A favorite, I kind of say a favorite's very similar to a like on Facebook. That's not to say that they're not valuable to us.
Yes,
it's just trying to create the content for those sorts of actions. So it's very easy to put up, say, a photo of one of our champions, and you probably guarantee a lot of likes. But what piece of content will want that person to share it with everybody else? And because the sharing is them saying, "Hey, this is worth looking at."
Yeah.
A like is sort of saying, "Oh, this is what I like because I'm a fan of tennis, but maybe my friends aren't fans." If they were to share something with them, that's something that they really think everyone should want to interact with.
Yeah. And how does your social media strategy, and we'll kind of talk about that in a tick, but how does your social media strategy fit into the broader communication strategy of the Australian Open, or is it more of a standalone thing, or do you link it in with the website? Is it or how do you kind of pull all those traditional, non-traditional, digital, social channels together?
We sort of pull them all together. So our website still drives a lot of traffic, and so for social media will, in the media team, will say, okay, the social media component is going to support trying to drive traffic back to the website or drive traffic back to, say, our video content on the website. And so then we, in the social space, we can really define that, all right, what we're trying to do here is we're trying to drive these people on social to, one, engage with us in this space, and then ultimately we want them to be going to our website to read the article a bit more, watch more videos, interact with us in different ways. So we take those objectives as a whole media and communications department, and then we see which channels can support which objectives.
Okay, cool. Now, speaking of channels, email newsletter, what sort of role, well, first of all, does that fall under your jurisdiction or?
Yeah, funnily enough, it does, actually. I do look after a little bit of email communications for us as well.
And so what sort of role, or as you're saying with the website, everything funnels back to the website, the social's about engagement, reach, and then pushing back to the website. So what sort of role does the email newsletter have? And has that role diminished over the last couple of years as social has really, really got, momentum?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's diminished. I mean, we're still going to be pushing all the stories that are of the interest of the day. But I don't think email's going anywhere, even though we have, even though social media's boomed. I guess, tennis has such a diverse audience, from the very young to the very old. And they're all going to be sort of consuming that content in different channels. So we haven't seen a huge drop in, say, the daily newsletter that we put out during the tournament, and that's going to be a summary of here are the stories that you missed, here's some highlights of the day. So we'll still be putting that out. Whereas social media has a shorter lifespan than email. So, if you haven't picked it up in the last hour, will you pick it up, or are you going to see it in the newsletter that you'll get at the end of the day? So just making sure that we cover off all those touch points and all those channels. There might be a user consuming in multiple areas, but we've got to make sure that we're still providing that value for them in all those different communications channels.
Okay, so when we get to the social, which platforms are you looking to run on this year? Facebook, you've obviously mentioned, Twitter, and...
Yep. Instagram's been a really great one for us. We've seen a lot of growth in that area, and we're going to be concentrating on that a little bit more with some of the things that we're doing on site. Facebook and Twitter obviously are big ones, and, we try to... Twitter's really great for a live event because we can cover matches, we can do breaking news, everything that happens at that moment. Whereas Facebook, social media is a funny one because, there's so many different channels and so many different ways of doing things. So we just try to define them in small ways. So, Facebook for us is sort of a bit of a medium pace. So that's where we can do summaries or match updates, whereas Twitter's going to be like constant match updates, constant conversation, talking to people as they're watching the tennis, when there's breaks on, keep feeding them. So that's a much quicker paced social channel for us. We haven't really moved into any of the sort of side channel like Pinterest or Snapchat or Tumblr. We probably use Google Plus this year. Google Plus is really great for driving web referrals, so we'll probably be updating a lot of our web content on Google Plus as well, and seeing how that one goes, seeing what sort of reaction we get.
So that's going to be new for this year, Google Plus.
Well, we've used Google Plus in previous years, but we'll probably put a little bit more effort into it this year. We're not going to dedicate too much to it, but it's more of what are we going to get from it. We have to see what value we get from it and what value we can provide our fans in that space. And if there is that demand for it. So we'll be doing it again, and we'll be seeing what sort of response we get.
Okay, and I just wanted to backtrack. I just missed a question, which is quite ironic given I rarely do preparation. But how d- does social have any responsibility of contributing to the core commercial outcomes of the Australian Open, whether it be to sell merchandise or obviously sell ticketing or that sort of thing? Is that a part of the strategy and a direct outcome that you're measuring about, you know, effectively how many tickets are referred or ticket sales are made from referrals from social?
Yeah, definitely. We definitely have that as part of our objectives. We help drive those commercial objectives. A great example is during our pre-sale process. We had a social media pre-sale offer to all of our fans.
Oh, okay.
So, and we saw a fantastic result from that. So, you know, that's something that we develop on bit by bit, year on year, and we find out ways that social media can help support the commercial objectives. You know, we work with our sponsorship team and our commercial team to see how we can work with our partners on whether it's content or whether our social channels are supporting theirs, what sort of conversations we can have with them during the tournament, how we can support their initiative. As I was saying, that, you know, offering our fans who are connected with us special offers like getting access to pre-sale tickets through our social channels. You know, whether it's offering things first up on social as well. But as well as, you know, we'll have the Social Shack here again this year for the second year running.
I was going to ask about that.
Yeah.
Tell us about the Social Shack and what actually it is.
Yeah, so the Social Shack was an idea of, you know, the social media team, we sort of sit in the depths of underneath Rod Laver Arena behind our laptops, tapping away and speaking to people, you know, in and around the world. So we thought, let's bring that out into the open and let's bring that out on site so people can not necessarily see what we do, but more the essence of what we're doing with social media, where it's, you know, having conversations with our fans, providing them with great experiences. We said, you know, why don't we bring that out into the open and manifest that in a physical sense? So, you know, for us, it's last year, one of the big things at the Social Shack was that we had players come in and do live interviews with us. And usually that, for us, that's the equivalent of a Twitter Q&A.
Yeah.
So what was happening was we brought them out into the shack, brought them out into the open, fans could see them, interact with them. We'd still do the Twitter Q&A, but then we'd also have a roving microphone for fans who are on site to then ask their questions. So taking the essence of a Twitter Q&A and bringing it back out into the open. And that's the basic concept around the Social Shack. So we'll be doing those sorts of activations again this year for our fans, because, you know, the social space, that's our number one, is what can we do for our fans?
Yep. Okay, well, let's have a look at the different strategies that you're looking at for each of the platforms. So, as you mentioned with Facebook, that's a bit more of a slower paced kind of summary sort of platform. So, how are you using? Well, first of all, what are you trying to do with Facebook, and then how are you? What strategies are you using to achieve that?
So Facebook, you know, obviously we want to just keep increasing our audience. There, we want to try and grow our Australian audience on Facebook a bit more, because it's quite diverse internationally. So for us, we'll be finding ways that we can drive content to help grow that Australian audience. I'm not quite sure what that's going to look like at the moment, but that's one of the plans in that space.
So of your 1.4 million likes, what percentage of that is Australian, do you think, or do you know?
Well, we have a large portion, say, I think it's around about 40%, who are undefined. So already we're sort of cutting that audience down into an undefined category. And then I think it's about a 15% of that is Australian. So, you know, it's not necessarily providing content for the Australian audience, but trying to find ways, you know, to make the content specific to them. So, you know, what events are happening on site? Why should they come down to Melbourne Park, especially, you know, for the Melbourne crowd?
Yes. Okay.
You know, what are the reasons to come down here? And so you know, making sure that we're promoting all the great things that happen on site and all the great things, you know, photos of Garden Square and the Heineken Beer Garden and all the outside courts and, you know, what experiences people can have here, and making sure that we're talking about that as much as we're talking about matches and match coverage and what the players are up to. And that sort of content we're hoping is really going to generate that feeling of, you know, the fear of missing out. If I don't go to the Australian Open with my friends, you know, I'm going to miss out on something. And that's the sort of feeling that we will try to create.
How have you seen the use of hashtags in how are you using hashtags generally? Like, are you using them as a major part of your strategies, or and have you seen Facebook adoption of hashtags go?
Yeah, so we have a tournament hashtag, which is hashtag OzOpen.
Yep.
And then, you know, for particular things, we'll use specific hashtags. So on Twitter, as a great example, we have a customer service Twitter account called AOHelp, and then we'll use the hashtag AOHelp. And the idea for that is, you know, people are coming on site, they don't know which tram to catch, or they don't know which gate to go to, or they want to know how to buy ground passes at the gate. If they're on Twitter and they want to ask that question, we'll have, they can tweet AOHelp or even the Australian Open, but using the hashtag AOHelp, and that way we can find those customer queries. And so we just tried to use specific hashtags for those sorts of conversations that we're concentrating on, so that we can find them and we can provide really good customer service on those channels.
Geez, that's clever, isn't it? I'm just looking at that now. 1,600 followers just on the helpline.
And it's you know, I think more and more people are discovering that they can use Twitter as a helpline or as a customer service tool.
So what sort of crew have you got going during the Australian Open? Mm-hmm. You must have a fair team running all the different platforms.
Yeah, like the core social team is probably six people as a real core team, so ones that are sitting there doing social all day, every day.
Yes.
But what we do is we expand that out into, you know, people who are in other areas and that can get content for us. So they may not necessarily be tweeting photos or putting things up on Facebook, but say they're at a media opportunity or they're, you know, down at Rift Laver and they see something. What we do is we get these social media angels or scouts, as we might call them, to gather content for us and then feed that back to that core team. And for us, that's a great way to be able to cover everything that happens here on site at the Oz Open. And then we also work with our video production team. So, you know, they'll cut those quick clips that we can put up on Facebook or, you know, through Twitter, and we work with them to help provide that content as well. So you have a core team that sort of keep the engine running, and then you have these additional people that can help support your content efforts and help support that output as well.
Yeah. One of the things I noticed last year, I think it was that you had props for people to take photos around. I think it was the hashtag OzOpen was one of them, I think, from memory. Was that a successful strategy, or and how was that received by people at the tennis?
Absolutely loved it. And, you know, the hashtag sign that we had out the front of the social shack, that was sort of, you know, we just thought, oh, this would be really nice to have. And it was, you know, probably one of the most photographed areas around the site. And so it worked really well. And it's a very simple execution. And it's getting our hashtag out there and people interacting with it. And, you know, and going back to the idea of what the social shack is, it was, you know, the only way that they're going to interact with a hashtag is digitally.
Yes.
By putting it into a tweet or into a post. And now we've put it out there as something that they can climb on and stand on and take their photos with and have an interaction with and an experience with that they can talk about and share about. So for us, it was fantastic, and fans absolutely loved it. So we'll be definitely bringing that back this year.
And it looked to be an extension of that, a little bit different format, but an extension of that was the The launch of the tennis balls around Melbourne, has that been received well or photographed well?
That was part of the launch of the Australian Open, having the giant tennis balls around Melbourne, and then the social component of that was to encourage people to go and hunt those tennis balls down and take their photos with them and potentially win tickets to the Australian Open. And a lot of that was driven through Instagram and Twitter. And so you can start seeing that, you know, while something like that's not necessarily driven through Facebook being where our largest audience is,
yes,
it's a great thing where we can drive through Twitter and Instagram. And I think that's more the nature of those channels, where Twitter is about that ongoing conversation and people are always going to be on it and updating it. Mm. And Instagram's just about sharing those photos.
Yeah.
So creating those opportunities for fans really pay off. And then Facebook, you know, similar to what we've been talking about, you would tell people about it and show them what's happened and show all the people that have interacted with it. And then from that, they can see not necessarily what they've missed out on, but what our other channels are doing, and then we can start cross-pollinating a little bit of our audience across them.
Okay. Just from a photo, text, or video, which one kind of creates the most engagement?
Still photos, definitely, across all platforms. Photos are probably number one. We're currently playing around with Facebook video.
Yes.
And by playing around, instead of sort of linking out to our YouTube videos, we'll upload those videos to Facebook, and we're seeing a really great response to that. I also think Facebook are favouring any video posts at the moment.
So Facebook likes Facebook.
Facebook likes Facebook video photos, posts.
Yeah.
And, you know, so for us, that's a matter of them working with our video production team here and saying, what can we create, you know, Instagram having a 15-second time limit. If you were to create a little video for Vine, it's only 6 seconds.
Yes.
You know, the great thing with the Facebook video, we can see where people are dropping off. So say it's the first 30 seconds, we really got to get them. So then we can start saying, all right, well, what content are we going to create? How short is it going to be? And that's when we start working with the other teams to say, Facebook video is working really well for us, and we need you guys to help us create some really engaging stuff during the tournament.
Yeah. Well, let's just flick it over a little bit. When you're talking, or when the Australian Open or Tennis Australia is talking to sponsors, do they include the size of the audience on the hashtag AusOpen as part of your audience, or is it just typically the, you know, the likes and followers and on Twitter and Facebook that, or is it?
Yeah. It's usually our connected audience first.
Yep.
So they'll discuss, you know, across all our profiles, so tennis, the Australian Open series and the Australian Open, across all our profiles and channels, we're currently sitting at about 2.7 million. So as a collective audience, that's sort of what we can go with as a quick answer. Over 2.5 million followers across tennis, social media. But then, you know, we start providing the sponsorship team with, you know, if you want to talk about hashtags, and that's where conversations are, we'll start saying, you know, we get 800,000 uses of the hashtag during the tournament, during the 14 days. And then, you know, maybe for the month of January, that's much larger. So, whereas they're not, some of that may be connected audience, some of them may not be. I think it's still a valuable number, because that's the bulk of your conversation, that's where it's all going to happen. Yeah. So they are important numbers to mention.
So then how are you using social to promote the sponsors? How is social being incorporated into the sponsorship packages for the Australian Open? And feel free to use your sponsors, name your sponsors. That makes it easiest for it to relate to.
Yeah, so, you know, sometimes it's as simple as, say, with a Jacobs Creek or a Kia, they'll be running their own activations or competitions on social media. So Jacobs Creek last year had their open video with Andre Agassi, and I think they're doing something similar with Novak Djokovic this year. So it may be as simple as us sort of interacting with that conversation, so sharing those videos, responding to them, or, you know, it might be more of a integrated play with our sponsors. So, say with Rolex, they're very big into our video production. So, you know, on the social side, we make sure that we're sharing as much video as possible and linking back, and as I was saying before, driving people back to the website, back to the Australian Open video channel on the website, and bringing them back to all that video content, because we've got a great relationship with Rolex, and they're very integrated into that area, so we've got to make sure that we drive our audience back to it, so there's that value there for them.
And how else are you involving the sponsors in the social side of it? Is there any other ways that you're doing it this year that are new for 2015?
There's nothing really new that we're doing with them. It's a lot of the sponsor agreements have sort of all been signed, sealed, and delivered, and so in the past, the social component of it has sort of been a secondary thought. It's never been in the core discussion.
Yep.
So in that sense, we've never really had to have specific requirements on our social channel. So for us in the social space, like, you know, with the Social Shack, it's about demonstrating, you know, what are we doing with social? What sort of audience are we getting? What sort of reach are we getting? And then presenting that to our sponsors who are interested in saying, you know, work with us for, you know, in an Instagram campaign, and let's find ways to work together that's going to benefit both of us in that space. But, you know, for us, it's at the moment, it's just about making sure that we know what they're doing in their social channel, and making sure that we're across that and interacting with them as well.
Yeah. Brilliant. Well, with the 1 minute we've got left, where do you see the future of social going?
Well, that's a great question.
just to summarise in a minute for us, would you?
Sure. You know what? I'm really interested in seeing where iBeacons go and the Internet of Things. And that's down to the Nike Fuel Band, the Fitbit, the iBeacons, the everything that responds to sort of an everyday wearable device or something that's connected. And then how does that play out on social? So if you have a connected tennis racket that's, looking at your swing and impact zone and everything like that, how does that play out in the social space? Does it share it automatically? What can you share in that space? And then how is that going to keep driving that connection with your audience? So the iBeacon, the Internet of Everyday Things, and the connection to social, I think that's going to be an interesting one area to watch.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, I didn't even think about that. But then my dear daughter for my birthday this week just gave me a Fitbit, and I kind of looked at it and gone, what is this?
Which, starts
to show my age, but also... but anyway, I've got it
Keep
on.
Keep an eye out for them, because every little bit, everything that you can wear is going to be connected.
Well, it took me a little while to work out even how to tell the time. But no, you're right. You're 100% right. It's going to take us right up close, isn't it, to the action in the way that almost GoPros have revolutionized photography.
That's right. And so, you know, social being up to the minute, up to date, all the time, always on, how is it going to play out in that space when, you know, it's not me that has the connected racket, but it's the person on center court that has the connected racket.
Yeah.
And then what can that share on Twitter? Does it have a small camera on it? Does that, you know, share photos from center court on the court that nobody else can get? And then is that posting through a Twitter account, or is that posting video through Facebook? Or, you know, I think finding those connections, that's going to be a really interesting space to watch.
Fantastic. Well, with 6 weeks to go, the Australian Open starts on the 19th of January, and you can follow it, well, first of all, on the Australian Open or ozopen.com. And
that's it, yep.
On Twitter, the handle is?
@AustralianOpen, hashtag Aus Open, AUS Open. And then we're on Facebook Australian Open and Instagram as well, Australian Open.
Fantastic. Well, we will definitely be getting to the Australian Open at some stage, so we'll come and knock on the door of the social shack and see if we can't have a look at inside. And you sure as hell don't want Joe's photos going around social media, because it's a good head for radio, as we like to say in this studio. So, mate, thank you so much for your time and sharing some of your secrets. We kind of look to the Australian Open and Tennis Australia as the leaders in this space. So thank you very much for sharing a little bit of time.
You're very welcome. Thanks very much, guys.
You're listening to Sports Community Radio with your hosts, Jonah Vella and Steve Pallas. If you've missed a couple of our episodes, why not visit our website at www.sportscommunity.com.au, and there you'll find all our previous podcasts that you can download. And while you're there, give us a review so you can help spread the news about Sports Community and its services to the grassroots sports clubs. Okay, we come to the end of the podcast. We hope you've enjoyed it. We hope you've enjoyed the guests that we've brought to you and the information that we've presented to you this week. You can follow our podcasts from our website at www.sportscommunity.com.au. They are also available at iTunes and on Stitcher Radio as well. So feel free to visit any of those agencies to get our latest podcasts. And once again, on behalf of myself, Jonah Vella,
and myself, Steve Pallas, thank you for making us part of your sports community.